As I said, sometimes it's through testifying for a court case. And oftentimes, too, it's we need to have an issue raised for to the media. Because, unfortunately, in our world, some of our faith issues that are so important to us, they're just forgotten or they are omitted by mainstream media. And so we do a good job of having press conferences and releases that say, here's an important issue. So,
interesting. And how do you guys go about deciding what's an important issue or not? Yeah. Do you have influence directly with the Catholic Church, with the faith communities? How does that come to be?
It's interesting because our legislature, thankfully, here in Texas, is made up a lot of people that have great faith. Mm-hmm. And they can be various types of faith, not just Catholic. Now, it happens to be our president is Catholic, like myself and other people that we work with. And we see these issues. And it could be that it comes up. In my case, I'm also the vice president of the South Lake Carroll School Board. And so there are issues that come up very locally on the school board. There are also issues that might come through a city council or through a county. And we as Christian Catholics understand what is natural law. Mm-hmm. And so when we see conflict in a local policy or decision, that's sort of when we spring to action. I would say that's kind of the issues appear, and then all of a sudden we say, what can we do to make sure that the Christian, the biblical interpretation and response is met? And sometimes it's sitting down with the legislature, and our team will help them write a bill, in particular to something that happened in their district. Mm-hmm. I know before I joined Texas Values, they helped support us in Southlake. We wrote a local policy that we felt was needed, and that was to protect girls, biological girls, in their safe spaces. So I co-wrote this, and local policies, that's not unusual. That's what school boards actually do. Mm-hmm. So about 2.5 years ago, we wrote a policy that said only biological girls will use restrooms as well as locker rooms and sports teams, and biological boys will not. And even though that seems like common sense, because mm-hmm. It's natural law, there were groups who were very much against it. And at the time we wrote that, we had the Biden administration. And the Biden administration was really pushing down a radical different view of that, and that actually turned into a radical view of Title IX, which was supposed to protect girls in sports. And we had a group that came to us, and it was the Alliance Defending Freedom, and Texas Values was also supporting us, but they took our case, and we went and sued the Biden administration in federal court in Fort Worth, and we won. Wow. And that was really the precursor to the law that was just passed statewide.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's really, you know, where these issues come up from, they can come from a lot of different places. But I think as Christians, and I'm elected, right, how do you deal with it? And so we said, you know, we're going to be on the offense. We're going to write a policy that we think is based in biblical values and that protects our students, or in this case, it was our girl students.
See, that's what I think is so amazing about this, because oftentimes we sort of sit on the sidelines. Catholics don't know how to get involved, right?
Yeah.
So not only this didn't just come from an idea, but you put forth the necessary actions to affect real change within the community. That's awesome, right? So I know this is kind of a bigger sort of question to it, but help us understand this. You know, what does the separation of church and state actually mean, and how should Catholics understand it?
Yeah, I think, and I'm not a scholar in law, but I've had to interpret and read this and mm-hmm. reread it to get my understanding to share when people ask me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And 1801, President Thomas Jefferson wrote a very short letter. Actually, I have a copy of it here with me, and it's the letter to the Danbury Baptist Association mm-hmm. in Connecticut. And from what I know, every one of our early states, they had their own state religion. And the Danbury Baptists had conflict with the Connecticut state religion. And what President Jefferson was saying is that there should be a wall between the state and the faith that they're practicing. It was interpreted much later on to say that there should be a wall between all faiths and all and everything in the public and government.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's from what I understand, and all my friends who are lawyers say that was a total misunderstanding of what Thomas Jefferson was saying. He was actually saying, no, Baptist, you have the right to practice your faith, regardless of what that state religion of Connecticut is.
Mm-hmm.
One of the state's official religion, I believe Maryland, was Catholicism. So imagine if you were a Quaker living there, you might want also to have that freedom and that interpretation that that's what President Jefferson was saying. So, yeah, unfortunately, you know, things were, from what I understand, that was 1801. Things went pretty well until about 1947, and that was the Everson case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it came up, and it was interpreted that that wall was that there should be no faith in the public square. And then recently, and this gets to an event that we're going to have at Texas Values,
mm-hmm.
there was the Joe Kennedy case, and this was a coach, a great guy. I actually got to know him and become friends. And that Joe Kennedy was a high school football coach in Bremerton, Washington. And he, it's an interesting story, and you've got to go to our gala to learn more. And he's also got a great movie called Average Joe. But he said, look, I'm going to be a football coach. I'm going to pray at the end of the game on the field, just myself, a silent prayer, and give Lord thanks. And his wife was actually the director of HR for the school district.
Mm.
If you can imagine a conflict between the coach who's saying the prayer and his wife's in the HR going, honey, the superintendent and other people are telling me don't do that in public. Can you do that off? And he's like, I can't. You know, this is kind of a thing that I did with God here. And then, as I said, I promised I was going to praise him if I took on this role to be a coach. And so that case was taken up by pro bono by the First Liberty Group, Kelly Shackelford, as I mentioned, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court and took years. But when that passed and that was upheld, that you can indeed practice your faith in the public square, such as a public school football field, it really changed a lot, and it's going to continue to change a lot. And so what I'd say to Catholics and all Christians is the law is on your side, right? And everything that was misinterpreted about what that Danbury letter was, is we're now learning, no, that's not what he meant. That's not what President Jefferson meant. So we have this protection now. I think it's kind of a new day in the United States, is that we have the protection. It's not freedom of religion. It's not freedom from religion. It's freedom of religion. And that is that our founders wanted to have faith, and they wrote God so many times in all their writings. They wanted to have faith, and that we were a country based on faith. So it really is a new day. But I would tell Catholics, learn, read that letter, learn the interpretation, get to know what Joe Kennedy's case, how that came about, and what that means today. But it's a new day, Julian, and it's really exciting, I think, to be a Christian in America. But we have to be on the offense. We can't put our faith on the shelf. Because if we do that, the public square, the media, all of these elements of our culture will never change. It will never be faith-based if we don't make it so.
I think that's very inspiring what it is that you just said. And I think that should embolden our listeners to be able to live more publicly as a Catholic, right? So what's your advice then? So for maybe someone who doesn't necessarily want to run for office or necessarily be on the school board, but what's something that an everyday Catholics can do to help influence culture? What do you think?
Sure. So we have to have good laws, mm-hmm. and you don't have good laws unless you have good people to write and vote on those laws.
Okay.
So I would say just educate yourself. We have elections all the time. And in those elections, I like to say is vote for the person who you know is going to do God's will. Not the will of themselves, not the will of, say, a donor who's going to sort of buy the influence, but that person is truly going to do God's will. Because if you understand their heart and their values, when they go down to Austin or when they go to D.C., you know their values are in step with yours, and you don't have to worry about everything. But I really feel like it's those that are there and they're not true servant leaders. There's another reason they're there, and I think that's when we start to get disappointed in our elected officials, is that they're doing someone else's will.
So how can we stay informed? How can we research these individuals? How can we do our own vetting about what it is they truly believe, not just what they say, but what they do? What are some resources we can check out?
Sure. It's very hard to do it yourself, mm-hmm. because unless you have one-on-one deep conversations with a candidate, I don't know that you can cover enough, right? And candidates just will go out with their basic talking points. And reality is they probably all sound pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. But what we do at Texas Values, and we have a sister organization called Texas Values Action, which is a group that vets candidates. So at the judicial level, at the state level, and sometimes at the federal level, we have a really in-depth questionnaires that try to get to the values of those candidates. So we, in turn, Texas Values Action, make endorsements. And a lot of people in the state, it's a very coveted endorsement to have. It's not easy. I've had friends of mine who happen to be judicial, and I said, I'm not involved at all, right? I'm not on that committee. And they said, Andrew, this is a really long questionnaire, but it's good. And that's the whole point, is that we wanted to say that this endorsement really means a lot, because we've done a really great job of creating a questionnaire that is deep and thorough and really tries to make sure that we understand the candidate's values. So that's a great source. At the same time, in your parish, you might have somebody. So people, Julian, all the time, just today, got a text from a buddy of mine at my church who said, hey, Andrew, who do you recommend? And can you give me a little bit of background on them? So, stay informed. There's ways to do it.
So Texas Valley's the site, and stay plugged in. Figure out who are the persons within local influence, like you mentioned, like in the parish.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all really great advice. So what would you say then to a Catholic who may be hesitant about being more active in community service or living their faith as a Catholic? What is your advice to that person?
Yeah, I came across this great quote, and that's from Pope Benedict XVI. That came from John Edwards, who's got a great podcast called Just a Man in the Pew. And he came to speak at one of our Espiritus Fall men's conferences for Catholic men. And he said, that this is what Pope Benedict XVI said. Hopefully I get this right. He said, the world gives you comfort, but we are not made for comfort. We are made for greatness. And I think what that was is the interpretation in the Bible of the passage that basically said, being a Christian is hard, is not easy. And if we want to change our culture to one that is Christian, one that is natural law, you can't do it by being in your hot tub. You got to get out of your hot tub. You got to get onto the battlefield in some way. As you said, you don't have to run for public office, but you can support the people that share your values. And there's so many different ways to do that. You can go block walking. You can make phone calls. You can do nothing at all but write a very meaningful check and donation to help that candidate or, in our case, an organization that is advocating for the values. But if we don't do anything, it won't get better. And we know that, frankly, the other side, they're very involved. And that's why we are where we are today, where we see things that are just don't make sense. You know, boys should never be going into bathrooms of girls. I don't know how that happened. There's two genders, right? There's all these things, again, that are just based in natural law that we got away from. And it's because we ceded the public square to people that didn't have our biblical beliefs.
What would you say is the simplest action that anyone can take to make sure that we are preserving and influencing the culture according to our faith?
Yeah. If we don't vote along the lines of our values, we can never expect the people that represent us to represent us in our faith beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just about cutting taxes. That's great. I love that. But I really want to know what their values are.
You know, you, when we first met, you were like, come from media. You had like an incredible like career and all of that. And now you're doing this. What is your personal why behind this? Why are you so convicted about the work that you do?
Well, at some time, I guess you get in your 50s or some whatever it is, some people could be their 60s, could be later, and you say, I've only got so much time left.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the line, And I spent a little time in theater when I was a younger guy. And it was like, this isn't a dress rehearsal for another life. This is the real deal. What you do with your time is important. And they say that what you do, who you associate with, it's all a reflection of your values. And I kind of did one of these gut checks. And that was to say, is everything in my life in line with my values? I found myself at a great big media corporation that was not aligned with my values. I felt like I was kind of selling my soul every day. And I said, in the time I've got left to work, I don't want to do that. I want to wake up in the morning, feel like I'm really doing God's will. And at Texas Values, I do.
I love that. What is your hope for Texas Values moving forward? What is the vision for the organization?
Sure. So we've got thousands of donors, but we need thousands more. So it's to grow the organization, what I call wide and deep. So wide, just how do we reach more people? And that's by going out into, I call it the hinterlands, you know, meeting people at, whether it's faith-based or conservative groups and clubs, letting them know what we do and that we're there to help with their values and promote their values. And deep, we've got a current donor base, making sure they know about events that are coming up, listening to them. I love the conversations with them because they'll say, you know what? Here's what's really concerning me. What are we, or what's Texas Values doing to help with this law right now? And make sure we're serving them, because I believe that when you give to any charitable organization, the donor should understand what's the return on my investment. So we want to make sure that it's really clear they understand what the effort is that our team is putting in.
Awesome. And you have a very special event taking place on November the 8th. Tell us about that.
Yes. So as I alluded to earlier, Coach Joe Kennedy is just a great, brave, faithful patriot. And he went through an awful lot. As I was saying, when his wife was the HR director of the very school, that was trying. It was crazy. So years of a Supreme Court case. He is going to share that story with the president of First Liberty, which is Mr. Kelly Shackelford. So what a great match to have the two of them at a dinner here in Dallas on November 8th. And that people can come and listen to this story. And it is one that is so incredibly moving, and it's inspirational. You know, we talk about getting out of the hot tub onto the battlefield. You need to have a story to sort of take that pilot light and make it into a bonfire in terms of your faith. And I think Joe Kennedy does that so well. And people can go to txvalues.org, txvalues.org, and that's how you can register and get tickets.
Love it. So we're just about out of time here, Andrew. So share whatever else is on your heart about Texas Values, about, you know, saving souls through the work that it is, you know, that we do. Like, what else do you want to share?
Well, for those of us, I grew up in the state of Michigan. I had grandparents that were down here in Texas. So my wife and I moved here about 12 years ago. And one of the things I think about is that, you know, our country is divided. And when you go to other places, especially as a Catholic, my wife and I will go, you know, she's from upstate New York, we'll go to churches, and church attendance is down. Priest shortage, really noticeable in other parts of the country. And then we're here in Texas where people are moving. Our parish, we've got 1,000 kids, youth, in our youth education formation program, which is huge. So I think what happens is we'll take it for granted that Texas is this bastion of faith. It can change really quickly. So my biggest message for listeners, Julian, is just to say, get involved. Don't take it for granted that Texas is always going to be this great state that promotes faith and family and freedom, because if it's only going to stay that way with people who are courageous and to take our faith and support it and defend it and protect it in the public square.
Andrew, I think that's a really great message. You fired me up, and I know you fired our listeners up as well. So close us out, plug us, your social media. How do our folks get a hold of you?
Yep, sure. As I said before, I would encourage everybody to follow Texas Values on Facebook, also on X, and then go to txvalues.org. We are constantly updating that with issues that we're working on, whether they be in the media, in the courtrooms, or at the state capitol, and then of our great events. But attending our great event, we want to help light that that faith fire and make that into a bonfire and get people into, put our faith into action.
Absolutely. November the 8th.
November 8th in Dallas.
November the 8th. Andrew, this has been a terrific conversation. I think you absolutely delivered on all the things I hoped that you would do. So thank you so much for your time and coming in to do this interview.
Thank you, Julian. God bless you.
Thank you. And dear listeners, that is all for now. And we'll see you next time on the Guadalupe Radio Network's Interview of the Week.
The Catholic Daughters of the Americas, Our Lady of Light Court, will host their annual holiday market on Saturday, November 8th, in the Cenacle at St. Anne Parish, located in Coppell. Doors open at 9 o'clock, and you can shop until you drop until 3. Come join us for a fun day of shopping with over 30 vendors. Take your chance at a raffle for holiday baskets and fuel up with some tasty treats at the bake sale. Proceeds will go towards sponsoring two $1,000 college scholarships. For more information, visit stannparish.org.
Attention Medicare beneficiaries, annual enrollment is here. Now is the chance to review your Medicare plan and make sure you're getting the coverage and benefits you need for 2026. My name is Michelle Vina, a sponsor of this station and owner of Morningstar 65, which is dedicated to helping Catholics with their Medicare plans. My husband Kevin and I are active members of St. Mary the Virgin Parish in Arlington. For more information about Morningstar 65 and the services available, you can visit morningstar65.com. That's morningstar65.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the North Texas Catholic Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network, broadcasting all across North Texas. We're glad you're with us. We do this twice every Saturday, and I am just delighted to introduce you to something I'm certain you're going to be very interested in. It's called the Catholic Worldview Fellowship, and this came together during a lunch appointment I had with my friend Rich Kelly recently when he was We were talking about Benedictine College and my daughter being there and Father Ryan Richardson, who's the chaplain. And all of a sudden, all of our worlds started to collide on this Catholic Worldview Fellowship, which Father Ryan Richardson, who is the chaplain at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas, he founded this a number of years ago. And you can find it online at CatholicWorldview.com. And if you go to that website, you'll see the Catholic Worldview Fellowship forms, networks, and empowers talented college students to evangelize culture through an experience of the Catholic worldview. And so I have Father Ryan Richardson, the founder and executive director, on the phone with me from Atchison, Kansas. And I also have Rich Kelly, who is a financial supporter and also a little more involved than that. He actually travels with a fellowship and he's in studio. So, gentlemen, thanks to both of you for taking time to be with me today.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Happy to be with you.
All right. Father Ryan, I know many people may know you because you have very strong ties here in North Texas, having been involved with Regnum Christi here in North Texas. And also, Rich was telling me, a former chaplain of Legatus. You're involved with Young Catholic Professionals. So you really spent some time here in North Texas before going out to Kansas, didn't you?
I did. My first few years of priesthood. Yeah, very special. I definitely missed the area. But the Lord's called me to a different mission, but definitely have a lot of connections still in the North Texas area.
So take us back to the founding, the inspiration, how the Holy Spirit really inspired you to found this Catholic Worldview Fellowship, and also maybe explain to our listeners exactly what it is, other than what I've already mentioned.
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Dave. Yeah, you know, I think, you know, college is such a formative time, you know, to grow in our faith and expand our worldview. And, you know, when I was a college student, I had the opportunity to travel to Austria, travel to Rome. And that experience really opened my eyes to the Universal Church and to see all the traditions there in Europe and the churches that are hundreds of years old, you know, going to Rome and seeing the relics of the saints and the bones of St. Peter. And it just opened my eyes and was a real catalyst for me really growing in my faith. And so once I was in seminary and getting close to ordination, I thought, I'd love for as many students as possible to have this experience of the Universal Church coming to Rome and seeing the roots of Western culture. So this idea kind of formed of this Catholic Worldview Fellowship, where we could take a group of Catholic college students from the States, give them this experience, and help them really form them to see the world through the lens of Christ in the church. So Yeah, go ahead.
No, it really highlights the fact that there is such a thing as a Catholic worldview. I mean, we see the world differently, and we see it, of course, through the lens of Jesus Christ. But how would you kind of summarize that of what is the Catholic worldview, and how is it different from perhaps a secular worldview?
Yeah. So really seeing the world through the lens of Christ and his church, and seeing all the issues that we see today as Christ would see it and as the church sees it. And there's a lot of different issues at play today, you know, through Catholic social teaching, or whether it be politics, the human person, anthropology, what is culture, and then also what does it mean to evangelize? What does it mean to bring the good news of Jesus Christ into our culture today? So, you know, we kind of tackle those issues together, you know, and also in the midst of real community, where we can have real personal relationships.
Yes. Again, the website, CatholicWorldview.com. We're talking about the Catholic Worldview Fellowship, and they are going to be taking a trip to Germany and Italy next summer, June 26th through July 23rd, a few weeks in Europe with the fellowship. And, of course, anybody that's interested in participating in this can go ahead and inquire into it. Let me bring Rich Kelly into the conversation. Again, he's here in studio with me. He is a supporter of the fellowship. And, Rich, how did you first meet Father Ryan, and how did this, you know, this relationship start with the fellowship?
Well, I first met Father Ryan when he was chaplain for Legatus. I am a member of Legatus here in Dallas, and we had a natural affinity. He's from New Orleans, and I love New Orleans. I keep a second home down there, so we had something to start with. When he broached the idea of the fellowship with me, it appealed to me greatly. One of my primary drivers in my philanthropy are things that keep young people sticky to the faith. Mm-hmm. So I support Focus, I support Young Catholic Professionals, the SMU Catholic Campus Ministry, etc. Those are very near and dear to my heart. So when he brought up the idea of the fellowship, it fit naturally with what I was trying to do. So I've been a financial supporter since probably 2018, 2019, something like that. And Father has seen fit to invite me to join the fellows every year, except for the COVID years. We were shut down, where I joined them for 3 or 4 days in Germany, sit in class with them, have meals with them, and, you know, just talk to them a bit about my life, go on the local pilgrimages that they go on, to Kevlar, Zonten, and other places. And I give them a testimony of how I screwed up my life and God brought me back to the church. And that's my contribution. And I feel very enriched by being able to, first of all, deal with young people who are intelligent and motivated in their faith. And secondly, it's a very wonderful thing for me to be able to do.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I know you've set up an endowment, and people listening right now can support it financially like you have done. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Father Ryan Richardson, again, founder, executive director of the Catholic Worldview Fellowship, joining us on the phone from Atchison, Kansas. CatholicWorldview.com is the website. And Father, if you could, we've kind of talked about the overview of what the fellowship is and what a Catholic worldview is. And let's kind of get into the nuts and bolts. The folks that travel with you, these fellows, these young people, next summer, June 26th to July 23rd. Where do you go, and what exactly is done during those few weeks?
Sure. Well, first, you know, we stay in a castle. We stay in a castle in Germany with a moat, an actual moat. it's in northwest Germany, on the border of Germany and the Netherlands. Just a pretty ideal location, as I think many Americans, we kind of have an attraction to castles, and we actually stay in one for 3 weeks, which is really idyllic. And then we go down 1 week to Rome and have our adventure in the Eternal City. And really the nucleus of our formation, Dave, is four pillars of formation. So first is the academic. So students do receive 3 credits from Benedictine College. So it is a summer study abroad. And a lot of students who maybe they can't spend a whole semester abroad, but they can spend 1 month in the summer, it's a good option for them. So we do have these academic courses on a Catholic worldview. So we have professors come and speak on a variety of topics from culture, the world, evangelization, and what does our Catholic faith say about that. The second pillar is leadership. So we have a professional leadership coach. Her name is Katie Lundstrom. She consults high-level CEOs in the Northeast, great Catholic woman. She's there with us, provides leadership seminars and also some one-on-one coaching for the students. And then the spiritual aspect, we have daily guided mental prayer, we have daily mass, and we conclude the day with the holy hour at the end of the day. Students also have the opportunity for confession, spiritual direction, et cetera, throughout the month. And then the fourth pillar is cultural. So twice a week, we go on little excursions or little pilgrimages to places first around Germany. For example, we go to Cologne and we venerate the tomb of the three wise men and see the great Gothic cathedral there in Cologne. We go to Aachen, where Charlemagne was crowned in the year 800, and explore that city. We go down to Trier, which is one of the oldest cities in Germany. We have mass at the tomb of Saint Matthias the Apostle and venerate the relic of the Lord's tunic in Trier. And then going down to Rome, we see all the major basilicas there, the Vatican Museums, the Sistine Chapel. This last summer, we also had the grace to see Pope Leo there at his summer home in Castel Gandolfo and have a little encounter with him. So, yeah, so all this in an environment of authentic Christ-centered community. So I would say that is kind of the nucleus of what we do.
Very nice. Thanks for that explanation. The Catholic Worldview Fellowship, they're going next summer, June 26th through July 23rd. I have on the phone with me Father Ryan Richardson. He is the founder and also the executive director, CatholicWorldview.com. In studio with me, Rich Kelly, who is a financial supporter and also has set up an endowment, which we'll talk about in just a moment. And Father Ryan, you mentioned the three credits from Benedictine College, and I know that probably a lot of the fellows who go on this are from Benedictine College, but that's not exclusive to that particular college. Can you say who's eligible and who generally goes with you?
Yeah, great. Yeah, so we have a core group from Benedictine, but it's definitely not the majority of the students. So the fellowship is open to any student who is enrolled in college. So, currently freshmen through graduating seniors are eligible to apply. So that would be, they're entering in their sophomore year through graduating, and they can come from any school. We have students that come from public universities and also private universities, Catholic, non-Catholic. So any currently enrolled student can apply.
Okay, thank you. And Rich, let's go back to the endowment. I know that something like this costs some money, and I think, it's, I don't know if the students the fellows are raising their own money or what, but you've set up this endowment fund, I believe through the Catholic Foundation. Tell us about that, and if people are listening right now and they're as excited as you are about supporting young people and keeping them in the faith, how can they help?
Well, the fellowship does charge tuition for the fellows that come on the summer abroad program. And for the most part, the fellows do raise that money themselves. However, it's structured to operate at a deficit. The tuition does not cover the total cost. So, I've been contributing to cover that over the years and decided that at some point we needed to have an endowment that would contribute to the unfunded overhead of the program. So I started an endowment just this past year at the Catholic Foundation, and it's simply the Catholic Worldview Fellowship is the name of it, and it's will accept donations from anyone. I intend to continue funding it myself, but it's open for donations to anybody. And the goal is to get it to a couple million dollars eventually, which would then defray the unfunded overhead of the program.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Again, you can find out more information about that CatholicWorldview.com. I'm sure you can also just contact the Catholic Foundation and say, I heard Rich Kelly and Father Ryan on the radio, and I'd like to be involved in this. CatholicFoundation.com is their website. Father Ryan, There's a line in the on the website, CatholicWorldview.com, that caught my attention. It says, year after year, it is our hope that graduates of the Catholic Worldview Fellowship will go back to their cities, parishes, and campuses empowered by this transformative experience of looking at history, the world, and their own life in light of the Catholic Worldview. What, now that you've done this for a number of years, what kind of, I guess, fruits have you seen from those who participate and they go back? And what kind of changed people are they once they've been, had this experience?
Yeah, great question. You know, as a chaplain at Benedictine College, you know, I see the fellowship actually as a service to other Newman centers, other campus ministries throughout the country, because we give students a summer formation experience where they can go back to their campuses in the fall, really more on fire for the faith. What I've seen in past years is that we, you know, we work with students throughout the year, and usually in the summer, it can be a time of rest and rejuvenation, but many times students come back not as on fire in their faith, you know, for different reasons. They kind of take a little hiatus and do other summer things. So I think it's important to give our young people experiences in the summer that where they can actually grow in their faith. So what I've seen here, students from Benedictine College who have gone on the fellowship, they come back and they're some of our best leaders in our campus ministry program. We have students who have went that are now leading mission trips, that are leading Bible studies in their sports teams. And I can look at some of the other universities where we've sent students, and it's a joy to see them really on the front lines and being the right-hand men and women for their chaplains on their campuses. And so that's what we kind of want, is we want to give students a toolbox so that they can be a better leader on their campuses.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, as Americans, our country is so young, and when you go to Europe and you see the history and the great legacy of saints, you know, just like in Germany and Italy, not to mention some of the other countries over there, it really opens up our eyes. I think as Americans, we need to see this, because the church is so much older than our American experience. So do you see that as well, just an eye-opening experience of going to Europe?
Absolutely. You know, that's the thing here in the States, right? You have an old church, you know, that's 100 years old. You're like, oh man, this is amazing. You know, or 200 years old, you know, you go to Europe and you're talking about thousand year old church. And also just the saints, you know, here in the States, we have very few, you know, American saints examples. You know, they're just so many. And so a lot of what we do also is we study the lives of the saints. And we study how they transform the culture of their times. And then we take some of those nuggets and then can apply it to us today to really learn from the past, you know, learn from, you know, these great saints who are standing on their shoulders on what their lives can mean for us today. And it's so inspiring. And then when we're walking the same streets that they walked, it really makes their lives come alive for us today.
Yeah, without a doubt. Rich, I want to kind of go back to something you said earlier about why of your philanthropic attention is on young people. There's another line on the website, CatholicWorldview.com, says, college is a time when students, among them tomorrow's leaders in society, ask existential questions. They look for inspiration. They seek mentors and make life decisions. And I just want to highlight, in light of what you said a moment ago and why this is so important to you, why perhaps other people listening should say, yeah, you know, I need to invest in this, because this is when people's lives are forming. This is when they're maybe meeting their future spouse. They're making life decisions about their career. And it's a very important, needless to say, an important time in life. And this is something that can really make a difference in their life.
Well, absolutely. As I say, when I speak to the fellows over in Germany, right now, sit down and discern your vocation. Okay. Actually pay attention to it, because it's your roadmap to heaven. So, unfortunately, college is a time when a lot of people fall away from the faith. And I just want to counteract that. And I think the fellowship does a good job of that by, you know, letting people know there is truth. And that's not your truth and my truth. There is truth, which is what the church teaches. And it's just so absolutely important.
Catholic Worldview Fellowship Experience will be next summer, 2026, June 26th through July 23rd. All the information is on the website, catholicworldview.com. Father Ryan Richardson is the executive director and also the founder, serving as chaplain at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. Like I mentioned, that's where my daughter is, and so that's been a great experience for her. Father Ryan, could take us through some of the nuts and bolts. If somebody's listening, maybe it's the parent, maybe it's the potential fellow, what are the first steps? I mean, this is, you know, we're still obviously in 2025 when we're doing this interview, so this is a ways off. Should they be acting now, and what should they do right now if they're interested?
Yeah, so first I would say, you know, the fellowship is, it's not for everyone. So it is a formation program that we're looking for students who, okay, one, they're Catholic in their faith. Two, they want to grow in their faith. And they're looking for a toolbox. They're looking for ways where they can really become a Catholic reader. So if they have that kind of desire, if they're looking to go to the next level in their faith, and their next level in their leadership, then the fellowship can be a really, really good fit for them. You know, right now is the time when students are discerning what they're going to do for the summer. They're already thinking about perhaps internships and jobs and that sort of thing. So if there's an interest, I would recommend them or parent, grandparent, going to our website, catholicworldview.com, looking at the details of the program, what we offer. They can reach out to us via phone or email for more information. And our early application deadline is December 1st. Those students who apply before then get a discount. They get $500 off, and they get more priority acceptance. Our regular deadline is March 1st. So there is some time, but now is really the time to kind of discern what can be the next step. So I like to say, if there is interest, a good way to discern is by taking a next step. Explore the website, give us a call, send us an email. Before students are accepted, we actually have an interview with them. So we do schedule a Zoom interview to get to know them so that they can ask more questions about the fellowship. And then we can talk to them to discern if this is going to be a good fit for them. You know, now between the months of October, November are really prime times to really explore.
All right. Thank you for that. Again, CatholicWorldview.com is the website. The Catholic Worldview Fellowship Experience is what we're talking about. Father Ryan Richardson and Rich Kelly in studio with me here. And just kind of going back to what exactly happens during these few weeks, you mentioned obviously Rich is going to give some talks. You mentioned a lady by the name of Katie giving some presentations. Who else are the instructors? I'm sure you're doing some of it yourself, but who else do you have, like a set group of professors over there who are going to instruct, or who else does that part of it?
Yeah, so we have two amazing professors, Father John Bartunek and Father Michael Baggett. Father John Bartunek, Legionary of Christ. He's our lead professor, and just is fantastic. Great background in theology. Fun fact about him, he was actually on the set of the Passion of the Christ movie, you know, Mel Gibson's movie that came out some years ago. He was one of the people on the set there. And so he'll lead a lot of that instruction on worldview, culture. And then we have Father Michael Baggett, also a Legionary of Christ. He's been based in Rome, is a real expert on bioethics. And so he joins us, and they're kind of the two lead professors, along with Katie Lundstrom, who's our expert for our leadership formation. So they're the ones who are kind of really leading through the academic part, the curriculum.
And I'd also point out, Dave, that there are a couple of women members of Regnum Christi, including Tammy Grady here from the Dallas Diocese, who go with the fellowship to provide spiritual direction for the young ladies.
Okay.
So there is spiritual direction involved as well.
Okay. So
yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we have, so our chaplain corps, besides myself being on the course, we do have Father John Klein, who is an assistant chaplain at Georgia Tech. And then, the Consecrated Women of Regnum Christi, Mary Schwartz and Tammy Grady, to really provide that accompaniment for our students.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll come back in just a second for a final blessing from you, Father Ryan, if you would. And Richard, just want to have a last word from you as far as encouragement for people, again, to support this financially. You've set up the endowment at the Catholic Foundation. Maybe one last pitch for those who have now listened to the whole interview and said, okay, I think I'd like to be involved.
Well, I can tell you this works. It's worthy of my support. And if it's worthy of my support, it's worthy of your support. So I strongly encourage it. And again, it's at the Catholic Foundation, and we'd be grateful for any support we could get.
All right. Is there a link on the CatholicWorldview.com website, or should they go straight to the Catholic Foundation? Or what would be the first step if they wanted to invest?
The Catholic Foundation. I don't believe there's a link on the Worldview Fellowship website, which is a good idea, Dave. We need to do that. But yes, they should contact the Catholic Foundation, or they could even contact me if they want.
Okay. All right. Do you want to give contact information
sure.
for yourself?
Richard Kelly, R. Kelly, R-K-E-L-L-Y, at Luma, L-U-M-A-P-M.com.
All right. Thanks so much, Rich. I appreciate you being here. And Father Ryan Richardson, thank you very much for your time. And if you don't mind imparting a blessing to those who are listening, and also, of course, all the potential fellows and the donors and the sponsors who are going to be involved in this, we'd be very grateful as we wrap up this interview.
Sure. Great. And Dave, thank you so much for this opportunity. May the Lord bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and grant you peace. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father Ryan Richardson, also Rich Kelly. And again, the most important thing is to get to that website and learn about it, the CatholicWorldview.com, CatholicWorldview.com. And again, eventually there will be a link to donate on there. But if you want to go straight to the Catholic Foundation, it's very easy, CatholicFoundation.com. So those are really easy websites. Thank you to both of you gentlemen for being part of this interview. Thanks everybody for listening. Thank you to Cecil Anderson for running the board and producing it. This has been the Guadalupe Radio Network interview of the week here in the North Texas area. God bless you and thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week.
Did you know that abortions are still happening in great numbers in Texas because of the abortion pill and that Planned Parenthood continues to facilitate abortion? Our Blessed Mother is pleading for God's people to stand in the gap to protect the unborn. So 40 Days for Life 365 DFW is inviting you to please join in fasting and in peaceful prayer vigil all year round in front of the 10 DFW Planned Parenthoods. Visit ProLifeDFW.com for more information and to sign up to pray. Again, ProLifeDFW.com.
Hear ye, hear ye. Celebrate 25 years of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic School with an evening of revelry and merriment. The Silver Jubilee Gala will be held on Saturday, November 15th from 5:30 to 10:30 at the Texas Motor Speedway Club in Fort Worth. Dress to impress and let thy attire be inspired by the Renaissance period. This enchanting evening features a seated dinner, cocktails, dancing to a live band, gala games, and a Renaissance street market. For more information, visit the school website at seascs.net.
Hi, I'm Chris Nisi, owner and operator of Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center. My wife and I are parishioners at St. Anne's Parish in Coppell.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Catholic radio for your soul on the Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.
But just as you wouldn't destroy a building if there's a chance an innocent